job with that one. Fantastic. Thank you. You made BC did a good job, choir. Great job back there for just one rehearsal on that song. It was absolutely beautiful. As we prepare to give to back to the Lord a portion of His blessings to us, turn to the next song in your handout, a song entitled The Eastern Gate. The next few songs that we sing have a phrase in it, and the choir was talking Wednesday night, and I asked them, there's no sneezing in this song. I like Ernestine's phrase better, though. There's no chewing in this song. And everybody's going, what are you talking about? Read the first phrase, and it's, I will meet you in the morning, not I will meet you in the morning. Okay? So I don't want to hear a lot of chewing going on out in the congregation this morning. The next two songs will be a challenge in that regard. Let us sing The Eastern Gate as our ushers prepare and come forward at the conclusion of this song.
Make me ready, faithful pilgrim. Our gracious Father, we thank you once again for just allowing us the privilege and opportunity to be in your house again today, Lord. We ask that you bless each one that was able to be here. We ask that you'll be with those that isn't here for various reasons. We pray that you be with them in a special way. And Father, as we go in this service, I ask that everything said and done be bring honor and glory to your holy name. We ask that you'll forgive us of all our sins and shortcomings that we've done this past week. And Lord, we ask that you bless those that give and those that has not to help the church go further. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
It was the Spirit of the Lord moving across the congregation and creating all the laughter and smiles. But I know this much too well to know that that was all of it.
It wasn't me.
Church is a, well, I, you're not practicing.
He loves the seed.
Isn't church a fun place to be?
Amen.
Amen. Go with me to the next song in your handout, a song entitled, I'll Meet You in the Morning. Now, this one has a fairly complex chorus to it, and we worked on it awfully hard in practice on Wednesday night to make sure we could lead you correctly. If you don't know your voice range, that's perfectly fine. You pick out the spot that you're comfortable in, and you sing that. But unlike most songs, where the soprano and the lead on the chorus is the top line of text, in this case, the lead in the chorus is the bottom line of text, because it is the alto singers that lead us through this chorus. And then the sopranos, the tenors, and the bass sing the top line of text. You fall in wherever you feel most comfortable. I'm going to sing with the lead, the first chorus, and the harmony, the second chorus, and try to help along that as well. So don't think your song leader's going off somewhere, you know, chasing rabbits. There's a purpose to the madness on occasion. This is a beautiful song. It is just an absolutely beautiful song, and I've loved it for the years and years that it's been part of our library. So let us sing under, I say number, there's no number. It's the third song in your handout. I'll meet you in the morning. Standing here for you. As we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, The last song in your handout is a very familiar one. Many of you probably don't even need the words for it. Betty Jo, you got your hanky ready? Okay. Inside joke. This song, Tammy and I grew up with this song. And I was teasing Betty Jo Wednesday night about where she's sitting, maybe where Danny's sitting. Tammy's aunt would sit there at every service. You know, even in a non-denominational church, we all had our assigned seats. And every time we sang this, about the second verse, couldn't get through half of the second verse. And she had that hanky out, and she was waving it in praise to the Lord. Big old crocodile tears rolling down her face. And the spirit just took over. Now, she didn't fall out, but I think she came close to it, Ruby. But it just impressed me because she just loved the Lord like so many here do, and she let it show. And she was unabashedly unashamed of praising her Lord. Well, she's no longer with us. She passed several years ago. And so I asked Miss Betty Jo to take her place. So, if she's ready, this will be our prayer song. She's got it. On the last verse, we will stand as the choir comes down, and we will gather around the altar for prayer. Let us sing Mansions Over the Hilltop.
I'm satisfied. Just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city,
brings back so many more.
Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for that old rugged cross. We thank you, Lord God, that you sent your Son to give himself for us. We thank you, Jesus, for coming to us, for coming from heaven to this earth, for being born amongst men as a little baby, to be raised up in Nazareth, Lord. And Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord, that you showed us love. Lord, you're the manifest member of the Godhead, and you showed us what love is. And Lord, you showed us the greatest love of all when you laid down your life for us. We thank you so much for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that with open arms you took the cross. You embraced it, Lord. You embraced the shame and the pain and the suffering. And Lord, you embraced even the judgment of God as it was poured out on you. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that because of you, Lord, we stand children of God. We're cleansed, Lord. We're brought into the family of faith because of you, Lord. I pray that, Father, today that we, as we gather, Lord, that we will worship what Jesus did. And, Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch your hearts today, Lord, that you'll take hold of the message, take hold of the tongue that speaks and the tongue that sings, and, Lord God, the heart that beats. And, Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll draw us close to you in this time. And, Lord God, that we'll feel the presence, your presence today. Lord, let your Holy Spirit open our hearts and minds to the message. And Lord, make us a people worthy of you. Lord, let us not be flippant in our faith. Lord, we pray for those who could not be here today, Lord, because of sickness. I know that there are some, Lord, that would just desire to be here. Brother Kirby would desire to be here.
Amen.
Joanne would love to be here today, Lord, but they can't. And Lord, I pray for them, Lord, as they're in that place, separated from this house, Lord, but still in the house of God. Father, I pray for those today who are mourning the loss of a loved one. I pray for those, for Tony's family. Lord, I pray that you lift their hearts up. And Lord, draw them close to you in this time. But Lord, I pray most of all, Lord, for those who have chosen the world over you. And Lord God, it's so easy for that to happen. It tugs at our hearts. So often, Lord God, we can be fickle. And Lord, as we'll see today in the message, Lord, that, Lord, we can let our hearts drift from you. But Lord, you ask us, do we love you? We should love you, Lord. We should love you with all of our heart. We should love you with all of our minds. Lord, it's love that drives us forward. So Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would open our hearts and minds today, that you would be in this place, Lord. And you'd set our souls on fire. And I pray, Lord, for those who have found greater things than worshiping you today, whether it be on the golf course or on the beach or wherever they might be. And I pray, Lord, that you would touch their hearts and tug at their hearts today. And make them look up and look around, Lord, and realize, Lord, that you didn't give us life to waste it. But you gave us life so that we might taste eternal life. One day we'll be with you forever. And what a glorious day that will be. I don't know if the mansion is of gold. I don't know, Lord God, that if it's going to have silver lining in it. But I know this, that, Lord, we should all look forward to that day when we'll see you face to face.
Amen.
And death will be defeated and sickness and sin. Oh, Lord, I just pray that sin would be defeated. I despise it, Lord, when it climbs on the throne of my life. I pray, Lord, you would kill it in our midst today, Lord. And we look forward to the day when we will glorify you with their deaths as we move into life. We love you, Lord. Thank you for all you do. Stir us and shake us, Holy Spirit, and use us for your glory. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray, and all God's people say,
Amen.
Come on now, brother. We're going to be in the last chapter of John. Do you have your Bibles? I hope you have your Bibles. If you don't have your Bibles, grab a pew Bible. Turn to the last chapter of John, John chapter 21. As you're turning to that, I want to give us a little introduction to this chapter. About 3 weeks have passed. Jesus was crucified about 3 weeks ago. In fact, about 3 weeks ago from the time of the writing of John chapter 21, the Bible tells us that in that amount of time that Jesus had the Lord's table. We had the Lord's table last week, a wonderful time. I always enjoy the Lord's table when we gather together to worship what Jesus did for us. And the Bible tells us that Jesus at the Lord's table, he looked at the men and he told them, he said, one of you is going to betray me. He said, the hand of him who is going to betray me, he's here today. And he spoke of Judas. And as Jesus looked around that table, he knew the hearts of every person that he was looking at. I don't know your heart, but Jesus knows your heart.
Amen.
He knows whether you love him or not. He knows what you think of him. And Jesus, as he served that table that day, the disciples, if you remember, we studied this last week, began to argue who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, we can be real fickle, can't we?
Amen.
Oh, we're so hard to please.
That's right.
Wintertime, we cry for summertime. Summertime, we cry for wintertime. We're never satisfied, are we? I couldn't be God, could you?
Amen.
And we're all so fickle. And so anyway, today we come to John chapter 21. 3 weeks have passed. And Jesus appears to his disciples. This is the third time that he's come. We're going to read responsibly out of John 21, verses 15 through 17. A wonderful, wonderful thing. In John 15, Jesus said, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, the son of Jonas,
lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas,
lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee.
He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas,
lovest thou me?
Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him,
Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee.
Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Aren't those some wonderful words? I'm going to ask my brother Dennis if he would you bless the message this morning?
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being in our house this morning, dear Lord. We thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us each and every day. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. And most of all, we thank you for Jesus.
Yes.
Father, we ask you to bless this message. May we receive it into our hearts and be a light in a world that is darkness. As you go with us, lead, guide, and direct us. Give us what we failed you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. John chapter 21, verse 1. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you'll look at these words, after these things, the first three words, after what things? After the Lord's table. After the day that the disciples all argued about who was going to be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. After the day that Peter said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, Lord. He said, I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to, even if it costs my life, I'm going to die for you. And then Jesus looked at Simon Peter and he said, oh, before the cock crows twice, you're going to deny me three times. Now, I want you to remember that. He said, you're going to deny me three times. That's very important. You see, the scripture is the word of God. This is something that God has given you. It's a gift from God, much like salvation, like the blood of the old rugged cross. It's something that God has given to you. It's not written by men. It's written through men. It's something that God did. It's supernatural.
Amen.
And it's powerful. And it's something that you need to look at in that way. And as you look at this text today, I want you to see it not as a writing from John himself, though God wrote through John, but as God writing this through the hand of God. And he wants you to see some things. You see, 3 weeks have passed and Peter has denied Jesus. He failed Jesus. How many of y'all have failed Jesus this week? I have. Haven't you? We all have failed Jesus. Some of you didn't raise your hands. I'll tell you, you may not know Jesus. What a terrible failure that is.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus, I hope you do, because listen, the best work you can ever do will not get you in the glory. What will get you in the glory is the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
The fact that Jesus Christ died for you, and it's a wonderful thing that Jesus does for you. I hope you'll be back tonight in Ephesians. We're going to talk about what that blood did. But the blood of the Lamb brings you into the family of God. Well, Peter had failed Jesus. The Bible says that the day 3 weeks before, and this was in Luke chapter 22. You don't need to turn there, but I'll tell you what I remember as God puts it on my heart. That Peter said, "I'll never deny you." Well, they took Jesus that day in the garden, but Peter started denying Jesus almost immediately. Yeah. You know, as they went into the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told the disciples, he said, "I want you to pray with me." What did they do? Immediately they went to sleep.
Amen.
Oh, they went to sleep real quick, faster than anybody I've ever seen go to sleep when I preach. Think about it for a minute. Amen. Y'all grin a little bit. Amen. Look at your neighbor and grin out. Tell them Jesus loves you. Oh, my goodness. And they went to sleep. And Jesus woke them up. He said, "Hey," he said, "I asked you to stay awake with me." And they went to sleep again. That's twice they denied him. And then when they come to get him in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says in Luke 22 that one of them drew out a sword and started hacking at one of the men who came after him. And Jesus never taught that. He taught us that we're supposed to love one another. He said to love your enemies, to turn the other cheek. If someone tries to take from you, give them not only your coat, but your cloak as well. And so one of the disciples says, "Well, let's use the world's method and whack off an ear." Jesus took the man's ear and he put it back on. And he said, "No, this is not what we do." Jesus said, "Don't you know that if I were to call out to my Father right now, God would send 10,000 angels to rescue me?" You see, Jesus had to go to that cross. Peter denied him three times. Then the fourth time that he denied him, as they go to trial, it tells us, as they went to trial that day, Peter said, I'll never deny you." They came up and said, "Aren't you the one who was with Jesus?" "No, no, I wasn't with Jesus."
Amen.
"Are you sure you're not the one with Jesus?" "No, no, I was not with Jesus. Are you?" Then a girl comes up, a little milk girl, a girl who collected milk. "Are you the one who went with Jesus?" "No." And he takes God's name in vain. What a horrible way to deny Jesus. The Bible says right then that Jesus turned and he looked at Peter. And as Jesus looked at Peter, the Bible says that Peter ran out of that place and he bitterly wept. He cried because he knew he had done what he was not supposed to. You see, we get fickle. Amen. But then, praise God, 3 days later, Jesus appears. And he comes into a locked room. And when he comes into that locked room, everybody was scared. They thought this was a spirit. But this is Jesus in his glorified body. He comes through a locked room in Galilee, just like he told them he was going to do. And when he comes forward, Jesus says, "I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost." He said, "Handle me and see." You see, when I think about that, I think about the glorified body that one day Jesus is going to give to us.
Amen.
And it's going to be a body that's not going to be restricted to the things of this earth and the sickness or the sins or the terrible things that are on this earth. And I think about that and I think how glorious that will be. Because the Bible says in Corinthians, "As he is, so shall we be."
Amen.
And even the greatest thing, when we get to heaven, we'll not be sinners anymore.
Amen.
And I am so glad of that. Because even as I speak these words and say these things, I know that in my heart there's a mean David trying to get out all the time.
That's right.
Amen. And you've got a mean person too.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I've been here long enough where you can't lie to me no more. Amen.
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 There's a mean person inside. But praise God, one day that sin will be gone. 8 days after Jesus first appeared, there was one disciple who was there by the name of Thomas, and he doubted. And some of us are like doubting Thomas. We've all doubted, haven't we?
Amen.
Oh, unless I see it, unless I touch him with my hands, I'm not going to believe him. And that's how I was saved. The day I got saved, God touched me 3 times before he pushed me forward. I was hard-headed, like many of you are.
Amen.
And then he finally got my attention. But Thomas said, oh, unless I see him, I'll not believe. Well, 8 days later, here comes Jesus again into the room, and he tells Thomas, he says, here I am. Thomas, don't doubt. Believe me. He said, believe me. He said, blessed are those who have not seen but believe, but blessed are those who see and believe. And Thomas looked at Jesus and he said, my Lord and my God. See, if you're saved, then Jesus is your Lord and he is your God.
Amen.
He's not just your Savior. I believe if you believe that he's only your Savior and not your Lord, then you're lost.
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. If you believe he's only your Savior but not your Lord, you're lost.
Right.
He never came as Savior apart from being Lord.
Amen.
And you'll not find that untruth in the Scripture anywhere. The devil tries to sell that to people, and that's not true. You see, Jesus told his disciples, he said, follow me. Y'all say that with me. Follow me. So all this has happened. After these things, all this stuff has happened that I told you about. It's in your Bibles. I can give you the scripture references later. But I'll tell you, if you just read your Bible, you know it's true. Amen.
Yeah, amen.
So what happens? 3 weeks has passed. And it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Now the first time he showed himself to his disciples, they were at the Sea of Galilee. And at the Sea of Galilee that day, that was many years before, 3 years before, as a matter of fact, Jesus saw the disciples fishing, and they were fishing, and they had not caught any fish all day long. They had fished all night long, and Jesus, standing on the shore, he hollered out to them. He said, have y'all caught any fish? And they said, no, we've not caught any. And he hollered back. He said, let the nets down right now, and you'll catch all you can possibly catch. And at the Sea of Galilee, they let their nets down, and they caught so many fish that it nearly broke their net in two. In fact, it started tearing the nets. That was the day that Peter was saved. That was the day that God gave Peter another name. He was Simon, son of Jonas, but he called him Peter. And look at verse number 2. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas. Thomas is the doubting one, also called Didymus. Didymus means the twin. And Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, he was one of the first disciples that Jesus saw under a fig tree. And the sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and two other unnamed disciples. There's 7 men that are together. And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. He says, I think I'm going to go fishing. That's what I'm going to do. Now, Jesus has done appeared to him 3 times, but Simon says, I'm going to go on back and I'm going to go fishing. Well, that was his job before. Well, there's nothing wrong with going fishing. I like to fish. Everybody likes to fish. But Jesus told him, he said, I want you to follow me and be fishers of men, not fishers of fish. But he said, I go fishing. And whenever he says that, they say unto him, we also go with thee. And I want you to notice that that's how I get in trouble most of the time. Somebody comes up with a good idea, and I follow along with the crowd. Have y'all ever been there?
Amen.
And do the wrong thing. Better off to watch Jesus and do what Jesus says. Amen. But they all go together, and they went forth, and they entered into a ship immediately. And listen, that night they caught nothing. When they were at the Sea of Galilee, they caught nothing. When they are now at the Sea of Tiberias, they have caught nothing. This seems to be a theme. The morning was come, and what happens again? Almost exactly what happened on the day that Peter was saved. It says, that morning was come, and Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. They didn't know who he was when he was on the Sea of Galilee. They don't know who he is now. because they can't see them. They're so far away. They're out fishing. They're out playing. They're out enjoying life. But they've not caught anything. And then this man calls from the shore, the man they don't know right now. And I want you to notice what he says, first of all, children. Children. Oh, we're the children of God. Amen. But like children, we're very, very fickle. And we get away from God so very easy, don't we? We're very fickle. He says, children, have you any meat? Have you caught any fish? Now, I can imagine Peter right now, if I can use my whole imagination and just let the Spirit lead me now. But he's been fishing all night long. They've been casting nets down. They've been trying everything they can. They've not caught any meat. And now here's a smart aleck from the shore hollering out, have you caught any fish? And Peter was always very brash, and he was always willing to speak up, and he was always, and he, so, I'm surprised he didn't say anything, but they just answered no. And it was probably very sharp, the way he said it. And Jesus said to them, in verse 6, he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Put it on the right side. You know, they've been throwing it all night long on both sides, the front and back. Jesus told them in John 15, he said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Beloved, you can't do anything if you're not with Jesus. Amen. Nothing will work out. Your life won't work out. Your family won't work out. Your fishing won't work out. Your time on the golf course won't work out. Nothing will work out if you're not with Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
The first mistake they made that day was getting on the Sea of Tiberias without Jesus. And if we don't have Jesus with us wherever we go, whatever we do, we're not going to be blessed. But I want you to notice this, how much Jesus loves us. He says, cast the net out on the right side. You know, I could put it a different way. Put it on the correct side. The correct side is wherever Jesus tells you to put it. Amen. Yeah. People today that are trying to be married apart from Jesus, you can't have a happy marriage apart from Jesus. But if you put it on the right side, it'd be okay. You put it where Jesus is. Amen.
Amen.
They put it on the right side. And what was it that happened? Look at verse number 6. They cast, therefore, they did what he said, not even knowing this was Jesus. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And then that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, he said to Peter, it's the Lord. This is Jesus.
Amen.
And see, all of a sudden he remembers what happened at the Sea of Galilee 3 years ago. And he goes, this is Jesus. This is the second time he's done this. I am so glad my God loves me so much. He gives
Amen.
Me a second chance and a third chance and a fourth. Aren't you glad of that?
Amen.
And he loves him. And when Peter hears this, here's old Peter. He's in the boat. This is the Sea of Tiberias. There's riptides all over the place. But look what he says in verse 7. When Simon Peter heard it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. I won't skip that part. I ain't going fishing with you if you're naked. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You got things I don't want to see. He was naked because they clothing back then, you couldn't run to Walmart. And fishing was a terrible, dirty chore. And you didn't have a laundromat to go to, so they stripped down. They got down naked. I don't know how much they were showing, but you could tell whether they were in boxers or briefs. Amen. But right then, what he did was he took that coat and he wrapped it around himself. And the Bible says he cast himself into the sea. He dove into that sea. And I can see him now paddling as fast as he can. He's left all the fish behind. They're on the boat. The other, it says in the next verse, the other disciples, the ones that are unnamed, they came in a little ship. When they heard that they had caught so many, they came in another ship. They're all headed out to the fish. Everybody else is in. But Peter is diving into the water and he's leaving the fish behind. He don't care nothing at all for those fish. He wants to get to Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, he just wants to see Jesus. And as soon as they get to the land, I want you to notice, look in verse 9. They come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. They had so many fish, it took two ships to bring them in. But Jesus has already put fish and bread on the fire.
Amen.
Beloved, when you do what God tells you to do, God will bless you more than you can even have. It'll be more than, you know, some of y'all live on this much of the blessing of God. And God says, no, I want you to have this much.
Amen.
If you'll just trust me and do what I tell you to do, I'll bless you.
Yes.
I'll bless you. I didn't think I'd preach this sermon in 30 minutes, and I'm not nowhere near closed. But I'd like to get over to the section right now where Jesus asked a question. When I was a little boy, I remember the sickest I ever got. I didn't know how sick I was. But I was so sick I couldn't eat. The thought of eating made me sick. And you can tell by looking at me, I love to eat. Amen.
Amen.
But I was so sick I couldn't, and I just couldn't do nothing. And Mama come in, she put her hand on my forehead, and she touched mine. She said, you're burning up, boy. And she went, she got a thermometer and stuck it in my mouth. And she said, oh my goodness, we've got to get him to the doctor. Temperature was 108. 108. I'd never been that sick in my life. I barely remember the trip to the hospital that day, but they got my temperature down and I'm okay. Though, the reason I act funny sometimes, y'all remember that. Amen. I think part of my mind cooked that day. But 108, she put a thermometer in my mouth. Jesus is going to put a thermometer in our mouths today. He's going to test to see if we're normal or not. And he starts out with Peter. And I want you to look what he says to Peter. After all this is done, and I wish I could go through all of this, Jesus told them, come and dine, come and eat. And the Bible says in verse 13, Jesus comes and takes bread and he gives it to them and the fish. This is the third time they met. This is the third week. And after they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Peter, why did you deny me three times? He don't say that, does he?
No.
Y'all look at your Bible so you'll know I'm not telling you a lie. He doesn't ask him that. He says, Simon, son of Jonas. He doesn't say, what denomination do you belong to?
Amen.
He doesn't ask him, why did you go to sleep in the garden? Or why did you fail me? Not just three times, but five, six, or seven times. Why did you do all of that? Look what he says. He says, Simon, son of Jonas. I want you to focus on that first of all. He doesn't call him Peter. He says, Simon. He goes back to his old unsaved name. He doesn't call him Peter. Peter is the name that he gave him the day he was saved. Simon, Peter. But now he says, Simon, you're the son of Jonas. He said, I'm testing you. You're the son of Adam. You're the son of E.J. Buffalo. You're the son of this one or that one, but you're not the son of God. He said, I want to test you. And he pulls out his thermometer and he asks him this. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than the two ships that went out to catch the fish? There were 153 fish, by the way. I've often wondered why the Bible put in there that there were 153 fish. Y'all want to know the secret that I found out after you studying this for years and years? It's because there were 153 fish.
Amen.
That's why. And the Bible says there were 153 big fish. They weren't like little fish like I catch. But they're like the ones I tell people I catch.
Amen.
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 Any more liars on any fishermen in the audience?
Oh,
they were great fish. That's why Jesus says, do you love me more than these, than the fishing boats? Do you love me more than the fish? 153 great fish would be a great amount of money sold.
Amen.
It would be thousands of dollars. Do you love me more than your job? Do you love me more than the friends that you went out on the boat with? Do you love me more than your wife, than your mother? Do you love me more than your brother and sister? Do you love me more than that person you saw in the mirror this morning? Do you love me more than these? Because, beloved, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love Him. And see, I love Jesus because He gave everything for me.
Amen.
When He died on that cross, He gave His humility. He gave His pride away. He gave His kingship away. He gave His blood away. He gave His life away. He was shamed and beaten and bruised for me. He died so I could be a child of God.
Amen.
And so I should love Him with all my heart. And Jesus said, if you don't love me more than you love your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, if you don't love me more than the person you're sitting on the pew with, then you're not worthy. Every time there's an invitation, people look around and say, what's somebody else going to do? Beloved, do you love Him more than those? Do you love Him more than anything else? When he asked Peter this the first time, Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know I do. And look what Jesus said. He didn't say, I want you to feel guilty for denying me. He said, I want you to feed my lambs. I want you to take the ones that are hurting and bruised. I want you to lift up those who are in pain. I want you to lift up those around you. I want you to assist people to lift up those that are sick and hurting. Yeah. The little lambs that can't do, and I want you to do for them. For the children, for the weak, for the widows, for the orphans. He said, I want you to show you love me by feeding my little lambs. But then Jesus asked him a second time, how many times did Peter deny Jesus?
Three
times. He asked him a second time. He says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know I love you, Lord. You know I do. And he says, feed my sheep. If you love Jesus, do what you're supposed to do. Love the church of God. Love the family of God. You see, he is the great shepherd and we're his sheep. Amen.
Amen.
And you're to love one another for his sake. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples if you show love one toward another. You're supposed to feed them. Not beat them, not hate them. Feed them. And love them. Do the best thing for them. That's what he said. But Jesus wasn't done. Again, how many times did Peter deny Jesus? Three times. He asked him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Probably because at that moment he remembered the third time he denied the Lord. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. But then Jesus went on and told him this. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, you covered your body, and you walked whither thou wouldest. You were able to go from place to place, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. Do you love Jesus more than your very life? That's what he calls you to.
Amen.
And that's what he told Peter. He said, do you love me more than your very life? He said, one day you're going to die, but you're going to glorify the Lord in that death. And Peter did glorify the Lord. He was crucified just like the Master. He was stripped. He was beaten. He was nailed to a cross. But Peter today was with God in a wonderful, wonderful place. And he glorified the Lord. The last thing that Jesus told him was this. Follow me.
Yeah.
Follow me. Do you love him? If you love him, follow him. If you don't love him, I encourage you today to love him with all your heart, With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'd like you to take this thermometer that Jesus put in your mouth and ask yourself, do I love you, Jesus, more than these? Do I love you more than those things around me? Do I love you more than the stuff that I have? Do I love you more than life itself? Do I love you, and why do I love you? If not, today is a day to fall in love with Jesus. What a wonderful Savior we have. What a glorious Lord. We can't get to heaven unless we know Jesus, unless we follow Him. But beloved, if we follow Him, He promises to give us more blessing than we can imagine. Jesus, we love you so very much. We thank you so much, Lord, for this test that you give us. And Lord, I examined myself many times with this sermon before I ever preached it. And I have to admit, Lord, that I myself am fickle. There are so many times, Lord, where I don't love you the way that I should. But I thank you so much, Lord, that you love me anyway. You love me fervently and passionately. You have put your Spirit in my life. You have given me your blood in your life. And you promised me, Lord God, that one day I'll be in glory with you as a child of God. Father, I thank you so much for what you've done for us in Christ. I thank you so much. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll help me to remember that this life is not all that there is, but there's a life beyond this. Lord, set our hearts on fire. Make us fall in love with you, Lord. For Lord, unless we follow you and do as you say, we'll not do what we need to do. Lord, we pray for our America. We pray, Lord God, for those who are not here. And I pray, Lord, use us for your glory. Holy Spirit, use us and help us to love you more. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.